Golden Arrow Resources, a junior mining powerhouse with strong management, cash rich, and high quality properties with precious metals, gold, silver, and recently added copper for its demand and price rise. Golden Arrow has a proven five-step development strategy, previously responsible for three major discoveries with two in production. Golden Arrow Resources, U.S. trading symbol GARWF, and in Canada, GRG. Web address, goldenarrowresources.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Judy Dempsey, the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe for the Carnegie Endowment, for Carnegie Europe. And we're looking at the European Union in its flower, however, challenged by two different parts of the continent and Britain. And the puzzle here is what is to be done. The European Union is a collective ambition for working together for trade, for human rights, certainly for defense. However, we start with Ireland, Northern Ireland, and Great Britain following Brexit. Judy, a very good day to you. Thank you for this. You begin with a serendipitous trip back to Dublin via Northern Ireland, in which you witnessed in crossing from Northern Ireland, part of the United Kingdom, into the Republic of Ireland, no hard border. Is that still the fact? And is the question now whether there will be a hard border put in between Belfast and Dublin? Good day to you, Judy.
Good day, John, and thank you for having me on your great show. For our listeners, John Batchelor has asked what seems a very easy question, but it's immensely complex. Very briefly, during the conflict when Northern Ireland was plunged into sectarian violence between the Unionists, who want to remain part of Great Britain, and the Nationalists, who wanted unification with the Republic of Ireland, there was a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. No goods could cross freely, no people could cross freely, even the animals could hardly get across this border. Then came the great Good Friday Agreement, brokered by the United States and Ireland and Great Britain, supported by the EU. And overnight, for confidence building measures, the border became soft. People could come and go. They could get to know each other. There was commuters. There was trade. There was investment. Cars could go crisscross the border without any checks. And essentially, the Republic was in the EU. Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom, was in the EU. Then came Brexit. And since Northern Ireland is part of Great Britain, Brexit means that Northern Ireland is no longer part of the European Union, except because of the Good Friday Agreement, which wanted an open border, an exception was made that there would be a hard border between Great Britain proper and Northern Ireland. Goods would be checked going from Great Britain to Northern Ireland. Once checked to meet EU standards because of the Good Friday Agreement, the goods would then go down to the Republic of Ireland inside the EU without any checks, therefore ensuring a soft border, an open border, and above all, the free flow of goods between Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland. And Britain really hates this.
Britain agreed to this, Judy. Here's the puzzle now. The present government, very dominant government, Boris Johnson's government, overwhelming a majority in Parliament, no need to stand again for several years, agreed, if I read correctly, the original presentation that was part of the negotiation for Brexit.
Yes.
And Brussels went along with Britain agreeing. You know, Russell said, we're going to say yes, so you're saying yes. What has happened?
What has happened is this, that this, the Unionist Party in Northern Ireland, it is split, and there are those pragmatists that want to support the Good Friday Agreement, and those who believe, and those in Britain who believe that checks on goods and everything else going from Britain to Northern Ireland weakens the link between Great Britain and Northern Ireland and the Unionists. And the Unionists feel that this is the beginning of the chink in this relationship, and eventually it could actually lead to the unification of the North and the South. But they dislike this kind of discrimination, that goods going into Northern Ireland from Great Britain, their mother, are checked. The EU is saying, you agreed on this precisely because that once the goods are checked, they go into Northern Ireland and then they're free to go all over the place into the south. And John, from the Republic of Ireland back into Europe again, actually, if only Britain would understand this. But so this is the gist of the problem, and for populist reasons and because he wants to sort of humour the Unionist Party in Northern Ireland, which one can understand, Boris Johnson is now reneging on an internationally legal binding agreement.
The protocol is in place. Puzzle, though. I've read headlines over many weeks, and you're helping me understand them. This was reduced in the headlines in London to the sausage wars. Could you explain that, Judy, in terms of this dispute? Sausage wars struck me as both funny and puzzling.
Well, it depends if you like British sausages. I actually prefer eating Irish sausages. But it was a question of exporting sausages to Northern Ireland and should they be checked. And some in Northern Ireland didn't want them to be checked and others did. But essentially there was a shortage of sausages in the end, for veterinary reasons and other sanitary reasons in Northern Ireland. And so there was a shortage of this. But this was only an excuse by both sides, the Unionists and the British, to criticise the EU that you're starving everybody of sausages. It was a stupid argument. It was nearly infantile. And it failed to address the bigger issue of preserving peace between both Northern Ireland and Republic of Ireland, preserving peace on the island of Ireland. Sausages were an excuse.
Brussels appears to me to be like a good father trying to always settle a dispute between the children. And Brussels, if I read correctly, the European Commission, the executive of the European Union, has come in with a compromise of events. Yeah. So they're willing to accept that Boris Johnson reversed the agreement that they originally negotiated. Is the compromise credible? Is it acceptable to London?
Look, the problem with compromises is that if that side to whom you're making the compromises feel you're getting weak, they will demand more compromises. And the compromise that the European Commission has put on the table, less checks, less controls, a bit more flexibility. And somehow Boris Johnson's wanting more and more. This is actually showing that the British government doesn't seem to be very sincere on this. They agree to something and then they want to water down, and then the Commission has a compromise because they want to save a peace agreement, and then the British government wants more and more. And I think the European Commission has got fed up of all of this. But in some ways, Johnson has some cards, because at stake is, you know, if there will be a return to some kind of violence. There has been some violent instances over the last 18 months, but it's very serious, and we need a level-headed Dublin government, a level-headed London government, and level-headed diplomats in the United States to break this deadlock.
If I also understand, it went very quickly, so I want to catch up on this. Behind this is what we call in the U.S. a slippery slope. There are conservatives, yes, in Northern Ireland who believe that if they allow sausages to be checked at the border, pretty soon the island will be reunited. Is it that fantastic, Judy? Sausages to uniting.
Sounds like a children's football team, Sausages United. But, well, actually, the sausage war, the language of sausages has sort of disappeared at the moment, disappeared off the menu.
Right.
But the problem is, John, that only until recently, Northern Ireland hasn't been without its local autonomous administration. It's been very badly run. The administration, the public services has been run down because there's bickering between all the sides in Northern Ireland, and they won't see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture, it's not about separating from Great Britain. It's about actually maintaining stability and maintaining trust in a peace accord that stopped people being killed.
We have now headlines suggesting that the European Union's Executive Committee, the Commission, has gone as far as it can, and that if London doesn't negotiate it this quickly, there will be, what are the consequences here, Judy? Do we blow up Brexit? Is is it,
I mean, the Boris Johnson's criticism of the protocol is really a much deeper problem, because it exposes all the mistakes about Brexit. And the British government never considered the Good Friday Agreement when they did the Brexit negotiations. They never considered what was at stake in this peace process. And now they're using attempts to break up the protocol because they don't want to admit that Brexit was a mistake in all sorts of ways. That is why there are shortages in Great Britain, because of the closing the borders to migrants, to lorry drivers, to EU citizens, to all the paperwork, to the bureaucracy. And of course, the London government will blame the EU. But essentially, the British people voted for Brexit, and now they have to pay the price. But using Northern Ireland as a weapon to criticise the EU is very disingenuous.
I'm speaking with Judy Dempsey, who is the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. That's the Carnegie Europe, part of the Carnegie Endowment. And we're talking about strains that are witnessed right now in the European Union and its attendants. We're going to turn to another one, a member of the European Union, Poland, and its challenge to the original ambition of the EU treaty. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.